Blog Talk Radio.
Finally, I'm finally free. Finally, I'm finally me. Finally, I'm finally free.
Tonight, we have episode 45, Geek and Sundry vloggers, Holland Farkas, Akeem Lewanson, and we have special guest, Sarah Rodriguez, also of Geek and Sundry, joining us to talk about all things blurdy, all things geek, and all things Geek and Sundry. So if you are listening in live, please, please, please join us via Twitter. Our hashtag is BGN Podcast. Also, you can call us if you want to talk to us live. Our number is 347-237-4616. Tonight, it's just going to be me and our guests in our Q&A. So if you have the opportunity to listen in, this is a great show for those of you that are interested in becoming a vlogger, or if you're interested in learning more about Geek and Sundry and its multimedia entity, then certainly tune in on this one. And you can always download our podcast later on via Stitcher or iTunes Radio. So before we get started, always want to make special announcements. First and foremost, make sure you check out and bookmark always www.zaggle.blurredgasm.com/blurredgasm. You would think I would get it right by now. I announce it every week. But make sure you go to that website because we've got tons of merchandise on there. We've got coffee mugs. We've got T-shirts, mouse pads, you name it. It's on there. I was just informed today by a couple of tweeters that their traveling mug is out of stock. So make sure that you get on it because the items are selling really quick. And I'll contact the Zazzle people to see if we can get more of that in stock. But check that out because all of the monies that go into the Zazzle store do go back into funding these podcasts, which can get really expensive. So for those of you that have already purchased products, thank you so much. Your support is always appreciated. Also, another announcement that I just wanted to add on top of this, this wasn't a scheduled one, but I just wanted to tell this to everyone that listen or that follow Black Girl Nerds on Twitter, that yesterday we had Gem Live tweet. For those of you that don't know, every Saturday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we live tweet a 22-minute episode of Gem the Hologram. And we had a Q&A scheduled with Britta Phillips on, and unfortunately she could not make it. She emailed me this morning. She said she was really sorry and that she fell sick and she was on some meds and got really spaced out and just lost track of time. So she does apologize to all you guys, and I also apologize that she couldn't make it. But we are rescheduling it. She will appear next Saturday, 7:30 p.m., because we'll live tweet it from 7 to 7:22. Then at 7:30, she will be on for the Q&A, and she says she promises she will be there. So definitely check that out, and I'll make sure to send out social media blasts throughout the week to remind you guys, because some of you loyally do the Gem Live tweet with us, and then some of you probably want to just join because Britta's going to be there. So I want to make sure everybody has the opportunity to live tweet with her next Saturday. And that will be Saturday, April the 5th. All right. So usually I say, hey, I'm going to pass the virtual mic over to our co-host. But since we don't have other co-hosts, I'll just pass the virtual mic over to myself. So my name is Jamie Brodnack. I'm the founder and creator of Black Girl Nerds. You can always find me on Twitter via at Black Girl Nerds. I do have a personal account on Twitter at Jamie Brodnack. I don't use that because I'm on their account all day, every day, and I tweet incessantly on it. But, yeah, you can find me there. We're on the website, which is blackgirlnerds.com, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Tumblr. So, you know, all you got to do really is just Google Black Girl Nerds and you can find information there. And you guys pretty much kind of got an idea of who I am via Twitter. So that's just me in a nutshell. You can always catch those social media plugs through those various websites. So before we get started, I am going to send some introductions to our guests and then I'm going to go ahead and set up the Q&A with Holland and Akeem and Sarah for tonight's show. So, Colin Farkas is an aspiring cinematographer and film buff. She was recently selected to create a vlog series about geek culture on Geek and Sundry. She is currently in her second semester majoring in film production with a minor in photography at Emerson College. Akeem Lewanson is a Chicago-based vlogger and video creator for both Geek and Sundry and the Geek and Sundry blog. He is best known for his voiceover work and character impressions. And Sarah Rodriguez is the director of network development at Geek & Sundry and is the founder of Nerdy But Flirty, an all-female staffed geek and gaming site that focuses on diversity and social issues in gaming. Please welcome our guests to the show, everybody. Hello, hello.
Hey, how's it going, hey. Jamie? Thank you for having us.
Oh, thank you so much for being here. So let's get started with Geek and Sundry. First of all, and I'm going to just ask a general question, and I'll start with Holland, Akeem, and then Sarah with this question in that order. What is Geek and Sundry for those who may not have heard of it? And tell us how you got involved with Geek and Sundry.
Okay. Geek and Sundry is basically there's a website and a YouTube channel, and it's kind of just a network for geeks about geek culture. So it's kind of just about being a geek, really, really liking things and having a community where you can discuss all of these things with other people who really, really like things, pretty much. I had first heard about Geek and Sundry because I was really into, like, the guild and just, like, the stuff that Felicia Day did. So Felicia Day founded Geek and Sundry, and that's pretty much how I had heard about it. So I just followed them. And then when they did this blogger contest last summer, I decided to submit, not thinking anything would come of it, but Dean totally did come of it. So that is my involvement in Geek and Sundry.
Yeah, to kind of briefly echo what Holland just said, yeah, so it's Geek and Sundry, the network, all about geek culture, online network, all about geek culture, founded by Felicia Day. The way I found out about Geek and Sundry was, I don't know how long ago, probably sometime last year. I'm a big Supernatural fan. That's where I always knew about Felicia Day, but I saw her on a few episodes on Supernatural, and I wanted to find out who this woman is. Who is this woman? Why, you know, she seems to be kind of a popular character. So I did my research. That's how I found out about Geek and Sundry. And I've always wanted to create, I've always been into new media, creating online content. And I was actually, you know, trying to figure out, if I was going to jump into the whole YouTube space, what would it be about? You know, what would be my focus? And I still remember the date vividly. It was May 20th, 2013. I saw a video on a website featuring Felicia Day. She was just doing she just did a call to everyone, you know, to vlog about your passion. She's looking for 10 new vloggers for the new channel at the time, Geek and Sundry Vlogs. And when I heard her say that, I was like, you know what? I'm passionate about voiceover work. That's what I should probably vlog about. And I never edited any sort of videos before, you know, but I decided, you know what? It wouldn't hurt to just toss my name into this big hat of hundreds of people that were going to enter this competition. And next thing you know, I got chosen. So that's kind of how I wound up here. And I am super excited to be here as well.
Yeah, so I think they pretty much covered it. Geek and Sundry is basically television for nerds. We have a main channel where we have shows like Tabletop, which is very popular, Co-Optitude, where Felicia Day plays video games, that sort of thing. And then we have the Vloggers channel. And what the Vloggers channel was is basically Felicia said, there are all these different things that I'm interested in. Where can I go to find out about all these things? And why shouldn't I just make a place where people can go and find out about all these things in one place? And so she held, first she picked a few vloggers, and then she realized she should actually hold a contest to pick the rest of the vloggers, and that's how Akeem and Holland came to us. And so basically on the Vlogs channel, every single day is a chance to learn about something new and to get a little more excited about, like Holland said, what you geek out about. And the way I got into it is actually really roundabout and strange, but I had known about Geek and Sundry since I got into the realm of YouTube. And they have a great reputation among what they are, which is they're a network. And so when I got the opportunity to apply, I was ecstatic, and that's kind of how I got there.
Great. Awesome. And we've got some questions via Twitter, so I'm going to address them right now. Donna Gibson, she wants to know, I'm interested in doing some YouTube content. How should I get started?
Okay. Is it still the same order?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'm going to go. So I personally just kind of started making YouTube videos because I wanted to make them, and I didn't have the best camera to start off with. I didn't really have anyone watching them, but, like, I made them anyway. And really what you have to do is just pick what you want to talk about and make videos and upload them. And vlogging is something that, like, I guess maybe it comes for some people inherently because some people are, like, more charismatic or more this or more that. But it's something that you really have to just work on. Like, my first videos are awful. Like, I deleted so many of them. And it's just – it's a really – it's not an easy thing to start doing. And I still, like, I feel like I need to get better, and that's just how I am. But the more videos you make, the more comfortable you will be, and the more people that you will find watching them, because they can tell that you're comfortable and confident in yourself and what you're talking about. So really just make videos, even if you don't want to upload all of them right away, just keep making videos and keep doing it, and then it's just going to kind of come to you more naturally.
Yeah, I would say, yeah, the if you want to start vlogging, just do it. You know, like Holin said, you didn't have the best camera. So it's not necessarily what it is. You know, it's about the person that's in front of the camera. So no matter what type of camera you have, you know, that you're the person, you're the drawing force. You know, people want to see you. It doesn't matter, you know, you can have a topic, you can also just, it can just be a vlog about your day. Like, you wake up in the morning, you go to work, you know, and you do interesting things throughout the day. What people want to see is they want to see the personality in front of that camera. So, but having the topic definitely does help, because then that gives you some direction. For example, Holin, she vlogs about movies. I vlog about voiceover work and impressions. So we have a place to start from. And from there, like, even on our personal channels, we can deviate, which I definitely have done on my personal channel. You can deviate from just vlogging about, you know, like, I can vlog about movies on my personal channel. I can do karaoke songs if I wanted to. It's just sharing what it is that I enjoy doing with someone else online, pretty much. So, yeah, just do it is what I would say. You know, find a reason why you want to do it, and do it.
I think they both covered everything. The main thing that you want to do is make sure that you have something that you're passionate about, because if you're passionate, you will draw other people to your content, because they want to know what you're so passionate about, and they want to be involved in it as well. And then I would say number two is be prepared, because this isn't like art or like your Facebook or Twitter. You are going to get a lot of feedback from people, and so you want to be prepared for that. And then I would say that, honestly, something that will really help you is getting a good camera.
Nice. Always a good thing. I'm going to throw out this next question from Twitter. This is from Outspoken Diva. She asks, what is the hardest thing about vlogging?
Oh, man. Holin, you want to go first?
The one of the hardest things for me is, it's weird, because you want to do something that you want to do, but you also want to do something that other people are going to want to see. So you'll get, YouTube comments are just a thing. I'm sure someone is going to talk about that. But you'll get requests to do things, and you'll be like, oh, like, I want to make this person happy. But also, like, you want to do something that makes you happy and that you really want to talk about. So sometimes it's, like, it's hardest for me to find that, like, happy medium of, like, making my audience happy and also making me happy personally, and just kind of like deciding what content to talk about, because it's hard, because since you are getting feedback, you are kind of nervous about the stuff you put out sometimes, because you're like, oh, are people even going to like this? Or like, should I not even bother? Should I just do what they're telling me to do? So sometimes it's kind of tough, because you do have an audience and you want to make them happy, but you want to make yourself happy. That's probably the hardest part for me, personally, I would say.
Yeah, for me, I would say the hardest thing about what it is that I do is just juggling. You know, it's time management, I guess, is what I would say. I mean, because I have a 9-to-5 job, and then when I come home, you know, I sit down and I prepare for the next couple of videos that I'm going to do. And if you've seen the videos that I've done, like, they're not, it involves a lot of preparation. You know, I have a green screen that I have to set up in my living room, and I do a lot of puppet work, and my hands are, and I'm the only one controlling these. Like, it's just, for me, it's all about time management, you know, because I also have to eat, and I just find myself working around the clock. Yeah, but I mean, the thing is, I love what it is that I do, so So quite honestly, it's just about, like, because then I need time for sleep. You know, I gotta get some sleep in there, some food. So,
yeah.
I mean, for me, it would just be time management, but I managed to do it. So, you know, and I'm still alive. So, but yeah, that would be the hardest thing for me, time management.
Being alive.
And,
though
I'm... Sorry?
What's that?
Oh, no, I was just saying, being alive is always a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, though I don't vlog, I manage, like, I don't even know how many of you there are, like 17 vloggers, let's say. And what I've noticed the hardest part seems to be exactly what Akeem described. You know, and I've spoke with a few other folks who vlog as well. Really, the most successful YouTubers are the ones who are in college or who don't have steady jobs, honestly, because you have the most time to devote to making videos and to editing those videos. And, you know, when you have a full-time job or you have other commitments, it can be really hard to commit to YouTube.
Yeah.
You have to be young again and vlogging.
No.
You know?
It's also hard because, like, I have time management issues, too, and, like, I am in college, but, like, also I have, like, a part-time job, and I end up working, like, almost 30 hours a week sometimes, like, plus class, plus the vlog. So, yeah, like, time management totally starts to be a thing just because, like, doing everything. But, yeah.
I'll tell you right now, honestly, if I knew about YouTube when I was in college, based upon the way I am now, I'd be a beast. I'd be, like, I just know myself. Like, I had a lot of free time in college. So I probably would eat and sleep and breathe this, like, video creation in college.
My foolish self chose to make a website. Why didn't I do YouTube? Why did I do a website? Full of regrets.
Yeah. I mean, just amen, though, to the struggle on being a 9-to-5er and then doing what you love after you leave the four walls of your job, because I totally, totally get that. I empathize with that situation with Black Girl Nerds, and I feel like this is a second job. So time management is definitely the key to fostering and creating any kind of content that you're interested in, that you're passionate about. And if you're passionate, you know, in it supersedes the actual work involved, then it really doesn't feel like it's overwhelming. It really doesn't feel like, you know, it's going to be
absolutely
an issue for you. So I definitely get the whole, you know, you got to eat, you got to pay those bills, but then you really want to do something that you love too. So next question we got from Twitter. Hopefully I have your handle right. @Sid Alicia Keys. I'm not going to say what your other handle is here. But you say, I'm currently starting a blog and I'm streaming channel for video games. Any tips?
Wait, what was the question? Can you repeat the
Oh, no problem. It's I'm currently starting a blog and I'm streaming channel for video games. Any tips?
For video games? She's looking for video games?
She's streaming.
No,
she has a streaming channel,
oh,
so, like,
she's
Twitch.
Streaming video games. Okay, I'm like, deaf. I'm sorry. I don't do video games. I feel like I don't have to.
Yeah, so...
Sarah, you want to speak to this?
Yeah.
Okay.
So for doing a streaming channel, the main thing is to do it often. That's the biggest tip that will help you with videos, whether you're streaming on YouTube or Twitch or Ustream. The more consistent of a schedule you build while doing it, the easier it will be for people to come and find you. And the more people who come and find you, you know, it'll look like you have a bigger audience, and then your audience will be able to grow. And the other part to that is to pay attention to what people are interested in. Currently at the moment, you know, if you're still playing Pokemon and everyone has moved on from Pokemon onto the next big thing for Twitch, then you're going to get left in the dust. So those are probably my two pieces of advice.
Yeah, and I'm not necessarily certain what this person does in particular, but what I noticed actually works and what keeps my attention from some of the individuals that I've seen that actually are gamers on YouTube, it's just like with someone, you know, that's vlogging, you know, it's personality based. So, you know, you may be playing this game, but we want to hear you, you know, we want to know more about you. We want your personality in this game.
you know, so that's also in force as well. So it's not just us watching you play this video game. It's also, you know, your reaction to certain things that are happening in the video game. So it's like putting that personality behind the games that you're playing as well. I noticed
that
at least
really,
that's what's got my attention.
And that can be really difficult to do while playing the game well. So be prepared to not necessarily be on your A game if you're going to bring your personality to the forefront. And then especially if you are a female playing games, be prepared for any disparaging comments that come your way as a result of that, which sucks, but you should be like, well, then fine, I won't talk, and look how many people I kill in your face, and then they're okay again.
So we've got another question from Twitter, and then I'm going to ask some of my own questions here. This is from The Seventh Matrix. What advice would you give an aspiring blogger regarding handling negative YouTube comments? You just spoke to that, Holland.
Okay. My personal advice is probably, like, you may read a comment, because my biggest thing is, like, I wake up in the morning and check my email, and so I'll check my email, and I'll be like, so-and-so has commented on your YouTube video, and then, like, maybe I'll see something, and I'm like, that's not the greatest thing that I wanted to see, and you, at first, you kind of, like, want to respond to it and get defensive and be like, well, you may say this, but you're dumb and stupid and blah, blah, blah. And don't do that. Like, maybe you have not so nice feelings about it, but you kind of just have to let it pass. If anything is too mean, then just ignore it. And sometimes what you'll notice is when you have kind of like an audience and a following, like, people kind of defend you, which is weird, which is also like, you don't want people fighting in your comments, but like, you really, like, you're going to get bad feedback sometimes, but you really just need to not think about it, and you'll get good comments and good feedback, so you kind of just have to let the positives cancel out the negatives and not worry about it, which is hard to say, because, like, it bothers me. It really does, but you just can't. You have to try and not let it bother you that much.
And YouTube it has done something very awesome with the comments, where it allows you to actually just delete or even ban these people from your channel. You know, I remember I had a few individuals that were leaving the same negative comments on all my videos, and I was like, you know what? Not only am I going to delete your comment, you will no longer see any of my videos on my channel, sir or madam. I'm not gonna classify this particular person, but. But, yeah, so, I mean, that's one of the things. So you have to, you know, when you're putting yourself out there in any medium, through a podcast or YouTube, anywhere on the Internet, you got to brace yourself for the good and the bad, because you're going to get all.
Right.
Some people, you know, it might be constructive criticism. Some people are just down out just being mean rather than just control you. So you got to expect that. And if you're going to continue to put yourself out there, you gotta just expect that and either respond to it, you know, and obviously not in the same way that they are, or just ignore it or delete it. That's pretty much the three things that I do when it comes to negative comments.
Yeah.
I would say the number one thing, the mistake that I see most creators making, is they let one negative comment ruin 20 positive comments. So I'd say first and foremost is put it into perspective. You have one person who says you're fat and ugly, and you have 23 people who said, wow, I really love this, this was great, I wish you'd make more videos. Don't even care about that one person who said that. That's obviously not even the majority feeling about you. Don't let that single comment get you down. But secondly, just like Akeem said, since the change to YouTube, I am no holds barred. If you're making a comment that doesn't serve as constructive criticism, that's you just saying something mean, your comment is deleted. You're out of there. There's no freedom of speech on my YouTube videos. We can have a conversation. We can chat. You can tell me you'd prefer if I did something this way. But if you're calling me a fat, ugly whore, you're gone. And I don't have to read that filth.
Right, absolutely. There was a comment that I responded to a couple of days ago. It just said simply, you suck, man. And I was like, thank you. You're wrong. Bye. I responded. Deleted. Because
so
I'm like,
original.
I'm going to respond to you, man. Like, no, I'm pretty sure you're wrong. But thank you for your comment, sir. You know, because they're probably expecting you to, like, say, you know, to kind of, like, fight back with them or just delete it. But it's like, you know what? No, I'm going to let your idiocy shine through in my comment section for everyone else to see. So, like, sometimes I leave certain comments there because of that.
And then also, you know, these people are usually just wanting attention. And I know that sounds like what our parents used to tell us when somebody would pick on us. But I've seen this, certain YouTube personalities will actually respond very calmly to these kind of negative comments. And then the next comment you see from that person is, oh, thanks, yeah, sorry, I guess I didn't think about it. Like, this person just wanted to get somebody who in their mind is famous to talk to them. And so, you know, don't feed the trolls.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I've had that before.
And that's still true what Sarah just said, because I've seen 180s where someone was negative, and then as soon as the person responds, like, oh, my goodness, you responded? Oh, I'm so sorry. They just want attention. That's it.
No, that's happened to me, because someone will say something, and I'll be like, oh, like, sorry that upset you, but, like, this is how I feel about this thing. And then they're like, oh, no, sorry that I did this thing. Like, and I get all embarrassed because they, like, didn't expect you to see this comment. Like,
yeah.
I read the comments.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think the worst insult to a troll is actually not responding to them. Like, when someone tweets to me really nasty crap on Twitter, I don't even respond. I just block them.
I do.
I see people engage in tweets for hours with trolls, and I'm like, why are you doing that to yourself? Like, that's the worst insult. The fact that you didn't even give them the time of day to respond to their tweet, they just feel like crap after that. So... biggest insult, don't respond. Okay, so I want to ask this question to Akeem. You're about to have your own show on the main Geek & Sundry channel. The main Geek & Sundry channel, can you tell us a little bit about the show, and can you chat about your process of creating the show?
Okay, currently the show that I'm developing for the Geek & Sundry main channel, we're still in the developmental stages right now. I was actually in L.A., I believe, was it last month or month and a half ago?
It was at some point.
Well, yeah. I think it was last month. It was in February sometime. And we were – so pretty much I went to the main offices of GNS to kind of work on some of the assets of the show. And so we're still – what the show is going to be is still in development. But what I do know and what I can say is it will be an amazing show that is, I guess you could say it's a compilation of everything that makes me, I guess. I think that's a good way of saying it. So right now, it's currently, we're still in the development stages of the show. For the main channel, but if anyone that's watched any of the videos I've done on the blogs channel or any of some of the videos that I've done on my personal channel, there's going to be a slice of some of the stuff that I do on my personal channel and the things that I've done on the blogs channel that's going to be kind of in this new show that we're currently developing.
Gotcha.
Was there another part of your question?
And just the process of creating a show.
Yes. So it's an interesting process. When it comes to developing things of a creative nature for me personally, anyways, I've never, which sucks to say, but I've never actually had people behind me to develop any of the things that I've done creatively. And so it's just, honestly, it's been an amazing experience working with the entire GNS team. Even when I was out there for that week in LA working with everyone, it was just amazing seeing and being around all these individuals that are, you know, 100% in support of what it is that I do, and they want to help me, you know, succeed even on my personal channel. And they want to help me with the development of this new show that we're currently working on. It's just amazing. It's been an amazing experience thus far. I'm used to being here in my production studio, sitting down with a pen and paper, listening to some weird music, and just like working on stuff creatively by myself. It's nice to actually have a team to kind of bounce these ideas off of. And Sarah, she's just amazing. She is. You're a superwoman. I think you know that already, Sarah. Like just the way when I was out there in LA, you were awesome. And even in just email form, you're even super awesome. You're more awesome than you are in person. I know that sounds weird, but.
Well, thank you.
Just the amount of
the podcast.
It's just like, cause there's like Sarah said, there's 150 of us vloggers, and she makes sure to keep up with each and every one of us. I just think that takes a lot of just concentration on her part and devotion on her part as well.
She totally does, though. I email her all the time. I'm such a pain in the butt, and she always responds to me.
Oh, you guys.
Yeah, I always feel like Sarah rolls her eyes whenever I email her. I just assume that whenever I do email, I'm like, she's probably rolling her eyes at this right now.
Totally not rolling eyes. But no, it feels great to know that, you know, we can be able to help make each of you feel like you're doing something great. And I think that's what Geek and Sundry is all about. And that's kind of why Felicia wanted to start this, is instead of just, you know, people just trying on their own to make something really cool, it'd be people trying to make something cool with a team who supports them behind it. And so that was kind of one of the goals of Geek and Sundry, is to help you become even better, you know, with some folks that have your back.
Yeah, and I love it. I mean, honestly, most of the things that I've invested in personally, I wouldn't have invested in if Geek and Sundry wasn't behind me. Like, the puppets that I have, this green screen that I just bought a new green screen. I wouldn't have invested the amount of money these things have cost if I didn't have GNS behind me. I would have been like, no, man, I got to save this for some food, got rent to pay. But you know what? I'm like, it's definitely going to pay off in the end. So, you know, my investments, I'm going to see a return on my investments through the creative stuff that I put out.
Like that awesome Kermit video. If you haven't seen Akeem's Kermit video, his Frozen cover, please treat yourself.
I love it. Oh, it's so great.
It's so good.
I just really like the Muppets. And it makes me so happy because I don't know. And then I'm like, I know Kermit, kind of. So then I get really, really happy, which is bizarre. But yeah.
Yeah, someone actually wrote a comment saying, oh, I was in class. This made me cry. I was like, why are you watching videos in class, first off?
Back to work.
Awesome. Well, I wanted to ask Colin, you recently moved your blog to your personal channel. Is there anything going to be a little different now that you're running your own show, essentially?
I think the switch to my personal channel was cool because as far as, like, since I talk about movies, it's related to Geek and Sundry, but it's also kind of, like, tangential because it's not like video games, it's not comic books. Like, there's definitely some tie-in, but me personally, like, I love all kinds of movies. I love, like, big blockbusters. I love movies based off comic books, but then I also love, like, really, like, weird independent things. So now that I have it up on my personal channel, I feel like I can talk about, like, all sorts of movies, and also I can do other things that aren't necessarily related to movies. Because I've kind of been brainstorming about doing other things that aren't necessarily movie-related. So I think it just gives me, personally, like, a lot more freedom. And maybe, too, because, like, I do a lot of short films and stuff like that because I'm in film school. So I feel like it kind of gives me the opportunity to maybe start putting some of my own work like that isn't necessarily vlogs up on YouTube. So I think it just gives me kind of, like, a bigger palette to kind of, like, throw stuff up on and see what people like and what they don't like. But, yeah, that's pretty much it.
So this question is for all of you guys, in the same order as before. Have you ever been discriminated against for being a black nerd, whether it be from white or other black nerds, or from other blacks in general?
I don't think so. Like, I feel like I've gotten made fun of for being a nerd just in general, but I don't think it's been like a black nerd thing. Like, I feel like half of my friends are black nerds and then the other half are white nerds. So they're just, all of my friends are nerds. And like, I feel like skin color isn't really a thing. So like, if I'm getting made fun of by anyone, it's just for being like super nerdy. But I've never experienced too much because I think I've just kind of like ignored it and like found like-minded people to kind of surround myself by for the most part.
Yeah, same here. I've never been discriminated against because I am a black nerd. And if I was, maybe I was oblivious to it. I mean, I just can't recall a situation where I have been discriminated against just based upon me, the things that I love to talk about, to be involved in. I mean, there's the I'm pretty sure a lot of black guys or black people in general have gotten the whole thing. I remember when I was a kid, you know, talking to certain people on the phone, they would be like, "You sound white." You know, I've gotten that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, well, I guess good diction is not associated with. I mean, I don't like that. Just blew my mind when I was a kid. Whenever someone would say that to me, but that's just like a. I guess that's just a general thing. But never because of the things that I've been enthusiastic about, which would in turn make me a geek, you know.
Right.
So for me, it was a little different because nobody quite knows what I am when they look at me.
Same though.
Sorry, I have the same problem as you. I was wondering if you had that problem.
I have it. I do. Everyone thinks I'm Spanish.
Yeah, so I often get mistaken for Spanish. But usually what happens is it's more against me for being a female. You know, if I express that I like a video game or if I start talking about a comic book or something like that, people will immediately either say something that they think is nice, which is, oh, I thought you were just some cute girl. I didn't know you cared about cool stuff, or the negative, which is you're faking it, or even worse, you know, wow, you're a girl and you like nerdy things, you just got it hard in life. So I've heard a few things, but mostly what I've seen among my friends growing up, I grew up in Hampton, if you're familiar at all with the area, it's a very black community, but it's also one of those communities where if you're not black the way they want you to be black, then you must be white. If you're intelligent, then you act like a white girl. If you speak properly, you act like a white girl. You know, so having to watch that happen to my friends and even my family members, you know, getting picked on for wanting to do cosplay and wanting to do these things that are not black. And I think the most inspiring thing I ever heard was actually watching Andre from Black Nerd Comedy did an interview with Ice Cube and Kevin Hart. And he said, you know, he was joking. He said, well, I want to be cool like you. Well, like, how can I be more black? And they both immediately just shut that down. And they were like, you are black. There's no, you know, needing to be black. And hearing, like, famous people who aren't even nerdy say that and just get the issues so quickly was really kind of a moment in my life. It's like anyone who says differently is an idiot. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember that. Yeah, that was... Kevin Hart was the one that said that. He said, there's no way you can be more black. You are black. And I was like, yes, absolutely. You can't be more black. You know, you are. You know, no matter how you sound, no matter what it is you do or what you believe in or what it is that you're enthusiastic about, if you are a geek, a nerd, no matter what you are black, period.
Exactly. Exactly. That's awesome. I got to check that video out. I didn't know he interviewed Kevin Hart and Ice Cube.
Yeah, we were all pretty proud of that moment. What was it, the ride-along interview? If you search it on YouTube, you'll find it.
Nice. What do your friends and family think of your geeky hobbies?
My family is just a bunch of geeks. Like, I was just raised by really geeky parents. Like, my dad showed me Star Wars, and I was like, really young, and I just watched it constantly. Like, that's all I watched. And then, like, both of my parents have always been really into movies, so they would always just show me movies, and I'd, like, go to school and, like, talk to my friends. Like, I remember, like, when Lost in Translation, like, first came out, I watched it with my parents, and then I, like, went to school, and I, like, wanted to talk about Lost in Translation with my friends, but this is, like, middle school, I want to say, and so, like, no one knew what I was talking about, and, like, no one really knew who actors were, and I started kind of, like, recognizing, like, oh, that's Bill Murray, or, like, oh, that's this person, and they were, like, that's this character, like, they're not a person, and I'm, like, no, they're an actor, these are movies, this is how this works, and, like, no one really cared, but I think my parents totally raised me to be like this, and I'm, like, really close with my parents, so I think, like, and my brother and sister are the same way, they're younger, and they're just, we're all just really geeky, so it just kind of happened.
with my friends and family, I had to kind of educate them on what YouTube is, because, you know, when they think of YouTube, they just think of, like, cat videos or viral videos or whatever might be happening. Yeah, and so when I would, and the things that I do, some of them are just weird. Like, when I tell them I have puppets and I do things, like, they're like, oh, okay, they don't think much of it. So for them, I had to kind of educate them on what YouTube is, that this is a platform for people to showcase various different things. It's not just a viral video you shot with your iPhone that you toss up there. That there is production value in the things that people put out on YouTube. So my mom, she became, like, back when I was in the competition for the Geek of Sundry Vlogs channel, I told her who Felicia Day was, and I showed her Geek and Sundry, the channel, and she was just blown away. She's like, oh, my God, this looks like TV. I was like, yeah, I know, Mom. I know. That's what people do now in this day and age. So since that point, her and my sisters and my dad, they just became, like, the biggest, they've become, like, my biggest cheerleaders, like, telling our family members and their friends, check out my son on YouTube. This is what he's doing. I'm like, Dad, no, I don't want everyone seeing what I some of that stuff is embarrassing. You know, but they just become, like, the biggest cheerleaders for me, like, just telling people, like, what I do on YouTube. So, like, it's funny how they've embraced this thing that I do in my house, you know, right after work. So, yeah, they love it.
So for me, growing up was very hard, being a geeky kind of girl, because I loved action figures and Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z and, you know, all these things that girls aren't supposed to like. And so for my mom, it was just very, and for my older sister, too, who was kind of like a second mom to me, for a lot of my childhood, they spent so much energy trying to drive me away from what I actually liked. I mean, every Christmas I would end up pretty much getting the action figure that I asked for, but they did it very begrudgingly, and they didn't really like that I liked those things, and they wanted me to like pink, and they wanted me to like makeup and jewelry, but I wanted to get Dragon Ball Z sheets at the age of 13, and they were just very upset about all of this. But eventually they came around, and as I got older, I found out that my brother-in-law's family was actually super nerdy. Like, we're the people who knew about the whole backstory to Star Wars before the prequels came out and could say the Green Lantern credo. In fact, that was said over my, like, ring that they gave me when I graduated. But, you know, right. So once I got older, I got to get more into that side of the family and learn just how many of us are geeks, and we just have our own different things that we're geeky about. So now everybody's pretty used to how I am. My mom, as Akeem mentioned, my mother does not get the concept of YouTube, so I don't even bother anymore. But they get video games, and they get that I like it, and they're okay with that.
I want to ask this question to Sarah. You are the founder and creator of Nerdy v Flirty. Tell us about that website and what you do.
Sure. So Nerdy but Flirty came about because I was majoring in public relations, and they recommend that you have a blog while you're in college so that you can learn that skill. And I thought, well, you know, everyone else is making these tips for young PR professional blogs, but there's a ton of them, so I want to make a blog that I actually care about. So I decided mine would be on video games, and it would focus on women in video games. So talking about anytime something is sexist or when the opposite happens, a time when a video game does a really good job with female characters, talking about the female developers behind games, etc. From there, I eventually just accumulated more and more other authors, and I decided at an early state that the website would be all-female run. So currently we have about 15 staff members at least. We also have some extra contributors, but from the editor to the graphic design person to the writers to me, like, we're all women, and we write about video games, anime, movies, and we write about it from the perspective of female consumers. In hopes that it will help other female consumers, because we have a lot of different things that we would look for that are different perhaps than what some of our male counterparts would look for. For example, okay, I want to get this new God of War game. Am I going to have to do a game where I beat somebody's face black or blue? Is that going to be a trigger for me? You know, so we basically wanted to create a site that dealt with these sorts of questions and became a safe haven for women who love video games and other geeky things to talk about it. And of course, we also branch out into diversity and of course into LGBT issues as well.
Awesome. And what's the website address for our listeners to check that website out?
It is www.nerdybutflirty.com. And if you don't like the name, come and talk to me on Twitter, because it's this whole thing. So that's who we are.
I think it's a great name. I love that name.
Yeah. I love it, too.
Because it rhymes. I never thought of the implications of suggesting that we are flirty. I just wanted something that rhymes with nerdy. Now.
I was about to ask you, what's the negative implications with that? Because I didn't even catch on to that until you brought it up. So
And I didn't either. When I made up the name, I just thought it was cute, and I thought it was a name that kind of demonstrated that we weren't a normal kind of website, that there was obviously something a little different about us. But I've since had quite a few people say that they think it hurts our cause to be a blog about women empowerment and to have the word flirty in our name. But then I asked the authors, and, you know, we just took a vote, and we decided that we're sticking with the name. But, yeah. Just, you know,
okay.
I thought it rhymed.
I like it. It's cute. I like the site.
Yeah. Thank you.
So this question is for...
I'm done.
I interrupted you. I stepped on top of you. Go ahead.
No, I don't know. That's, like, one of my biggest pet peeves because, I go to, like, art school, so I take a lot of, like, feminism classes, and I, like, feel very strongly about kind of, like, women in these fields where there aren't supposed to be women, because that's a really big thing in film. Like, there's no female directors, but there's even less female cinematographers, and that's what I want to do. I'm not constantly dealing with this on, like, a daily basis. And the whole, like, nerdy but flirty argument, like, I feel like that shouldn't be a thing. You can be an empowered woman, and, like, I'm not obviously, like, you guys are going out there and, like, calling yourself flirts or anything, but, like, that's such a harmless, like,
I kind of agree. It's like, oh, because I'm a feminist, I can't have a bright pink controller, because I do. You know, so I definitely agree. And, you know, I actually was in cinema and dropped out because they were so very sexist against females getting to be behind the camera.
So, oh, it's
yeah,
so hard,
definitely
but it's
fun. What you're talking about.
It's a fun challenge. It's okay.
So this question is for all of you guys. What are your thoughts of Michael B. Jordan being cast as the new Johnny Storm? Do you agree or do you disagree that multicultural casting should play a part in comic book universe?
I talked about this a little bit in a video on my personal channel because I personally obviously like don't have a problem with Michael B. Jordan being cast as the Human Torch. I think that's awesome, and I think it's something that should be done more, and I feel like there's been lots of kind of like arguments lately over either someone of a minority race or minority gender or sexuality being cast in a role that is supposed to be typically like a white straight role. And also the argument of there's been a lot of kind of like white straight actors being cast in minority roles, whether it be race or Jared Leto playing a transgender character and stuff like that. So there's been lots of talks about this recently, and it's one of those things where I feel like there obviously needs to be some kind of, like, equilibrium. Like, I feel like people wouldn't be as upset about whites being cast in minority roles if minorities were cast in not even necessarily, like, white roles, just kind of, like, normal leading roles, because you don't get minorities being cast in just kind of, like, a normal lead, even in, like, a TV show. If there's, like, two leads, I think, like, Sleepy Hollow and Scandal are probably, like, the only – there's probably other cases, but, like, those are the two main cases I can think of right now where you have leads of, like, two different races, and they're, like, actually the leads of the show. Like, usually you have, like, a minority in your ensemble as, like, a, like, tertiary character. It's never, like, the important, like, one of the important characters of the show or the movie. And so the case with the Fantastic Four, you have the main four, and one of them is black, where they haven't been before. And I think that's a really important thing that's being done, and I think that needs to be done more. But obviously people are going to kind of, like, have an issue with it, because apparently it's so unheard of to be diverse, which is kind of ridiculous, but yeah.
I think it's a beautiful thing. My roommate and I, we were reading, I remember when we first saw the article about that. We were like, oh, that's so freaking awesome, it's about time! Because, I mean, honestly, the Fantastic Four, the thing with the comic book universe is, these are made up characters. So you can do it in any way you see fit, as long as you justify it. And I'm pretty sure, I don't know, you know, I don't know what they plan on doing as it pertains to the Fantastic Four. Like, I don't know if they're going to make them family or they're just close friends, but I know it's going to be, there's going to be a justifiable reason as to why Johnny Storm is a black guy. I think it's amazing, and I'm glad they did it. I saw the Shocker was Jamie Foxx. I was used when I was growing up. The Shocker in the Amazing Spider-Man movie, he was a white dude. You know, I just find that in the same Kingpin in the Daredevil movie, he was a black guy. I just think it's awesome that they're kind of just redefining these roles to not fit what years ago someone else, you know, predetermined this particular character to be in comics. I think as time goes, more and more of that, it's just going to become a normal thing for us to see in television and in movies. And like I said, it's a beautiful thing.
So first of all, I'm really glad you asked this question. And second of all, I'm going to hold myself back because I could talk about this answer for like 3 hours because it's such a multifaceted issue. So first I'll say, please, if you get a chance, read Felicia Day's blog about Tiger Lily, because I think she does a really good job of explaining the difference between casting a minority role in a traditionally white role and a white person in a traditional minority role. So you can read her thing for my feelings on that. But then my second aspect is, as I mentioned, I'm mixed. I have 8 siblings, which I haven't mentioned. 3 of my siblings, you would never guess they had anything with black in them. You would just assume, you know, black. My other siblings, you'd think maybe they were Mexican. And then I have another sibling who you wouldn't know what he is. You'd just think he was beautiful like Prince. Anyway, the bottom line is we are all blood related and we look nothing alike. So the arguments of, oh, well, they're brother and sister, it doesn't make sense, I say that's a bullshit argument, number one. Number two, the idea that he could not be this high society douchebag because he's suddenly black also makes absolutely no sense. You've obviously never met a frat boy of color before. C, I don't even know if I said 1, 2s or if I got A, B's in there. But anyway, we're going to say C for my next point. The idea that the backstory of a comic book character is sacrosanct tells me that you're not actually a fan of comic books. Because I have read about universes where my favorite characters were zombies, where my character suddenly was a different gender, where in one universe I think all of the characters suddenly had black holes for heads and creepy monster mouths. Like, mm-hmm. in the comic book world, people's stories are getting rewritten, they're getting yep. retroactively changed, you have different universes, parallel universes. Like, you can't tell me that it is impossible for this man to be black and that you're a fan of comics. You're just racist and you're trying to hide it. So I am all about this. I think he did a great job in the last movie I saw him in. I can't wait to see him take this on.
Awesome.
Let's not forget Nick Fury was originally white. Now
mm-hmm.
I couldn't even envision him not being Samuel L. Jackson.
Right. Oh yeah, and they even changed it in the universe where he is white. He's got his son who is black because that's how much people like that.
Yeah.
So I just face everybody.
I have the same thing as like Sarah too, because again, like, I am also mixed, so I have siblings who are like, they're white because we have a different father, but like, they are my siblings, like, we're like totally related, you can't like change that. And just because like we may look different in like skin tone or like other features, there's people who like have siblings that look nothing like their siblings and are still, like, completely blood-related. Mm-hmm. I look more like my best friend's sister, who's just super Italian, than I do to my actual siblings, or than she does to her sister. So, like, I don't think it's really a matter of appearance as far as, like, family goes. You never know what genes people are going to get, so that's another thing I'll stop talking.
Well, thank you so much, guys, for coming on the show. We did get cut off by Blog Talk Radio, but for those that are downloading the show now, you'll get to hear the rest of this. Thank you again for coming on. And real quick, just some shout-outs. Can each of you tell us where we can find you on YouTube and any other websites that you are on?
Go, Holland.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, go to me on Twitter, just like at Holland Farkas. YouTube, my URL is Telltale Heart XO, which is embarrassing. Honestly, if you Google Holland Farkas, you will get, there is no other Holland Farkas. I am the only Holland Farkas, and that is how you can find me on the internet.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Radio Rye Bread. You can also find me on YouTube at it's youtube.com/AtomicHole. Chose that in 2006. I don't know what I was thinking. And you can find all of my links at my website, ryebreadradio.com.
So you can find my website, www.nerdybutflirty.com. You can find the YouTube is youtube.com/nerdybutflirtyvideos. On Twitter, I'm at Sarah the Rebel, and Nerdy But Flirty on Twitter is nerdybflirty. And I'm pretty much on everything else as Sarah the Rebel, including Pinterest if you like pretty pictures.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much. Next week on the BGN podcast, we will have authors Rose Fox and Daniel Jose Older. They are the authors of the Speculative Fiction of History. So they'll be on with us. Cynthia Linnell, the founder of Blurred Book Club, will also be a co-host on that. So definitely tune in next week, same time, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thank you, guys. This was a great show. Appreciate you coming on.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, thank you for having us.
Thanks. Take care, guys. Have a great night.
All right, bye.
Yeah, you too. Bye.
Finally.